And if I can do it, everybody can do it. I think the future is bright for podcasting. It's not going away. I don't think it will ever go away. I think the commercial opportunities are only going to grow. You look at Serial. You look at some of the entertainment podcasts. It is crazy the amount of success they're having with that. And I think that's just going to continue to go straight up. Even the dollars that podcasters are getting has gone up dramatically. Even the ability to sell sponsorship. When we first started, my biggest pushback against selling sponsorships, what is a podcast? Well, now everybody knows what a podcast is, right? So it makes it even easier to sell sponsorship. I think the future is bright for podcasters.
Welcome to the Your Living Brand Live Show. This show is all about how you communicate your value, how you build influence through trust, and recognizing who your audience is and who they are not. Through our weekly conversations with our guests, we will explore different ways to enable you to demonstrate your uniqueness while we ask them, what's your story? And now, welcome our host, Ben Baker.
And welcome to another episode of the Your Living Brand Live Show. Welcome back, my wonderful audience. Thank you very much for coming back week after week. It's Ben, and I love the fact that you guys email me at ben@yourbrandmarketing.com. I love the fact that you guys ping me on LinkedIn. Tell me what you like. I mean, last week was huge. I think we had about 1,700 people, you know, part of the conversation, you know, going back and forth and having some great conversations. So I love the fact that you guys have those conversations and tell me what's going on. This week, we're going to get back into the nitty gritty of podcasting. I've got Mark LaCour, and Mark has got a company called OGGN, which is the Oil and Gas Global Network. They run podcasts strictly for the oil and gas industry. I mean, we're talking about niche upon niche upon niche. And I wanted to have Mark on the show. We're going to sit down. We're going to talk about where podcasting has been, where we are today, and where we're going. So, Mark, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks for bringing me on, Vin. And I have to give you a big shout out. I love the fact that your audience engages with you that much. That's one of my favorite things about podcasts. That medium, you get so much engagement. People feel like they know you because they've listened to you for years. I mean, I got some funny stories about that, but, you know, hats off for you to doing such a great job to your podcast that people are reaching back out, wanting to engage.
It's my favorite thing. It truly is. I mean, it's you sit there and you talk into the mic and you hope you're doing a good job. You hope you're interesting. You hope you're adding value. You hope that you're speaking to an audience and somebody actually sits there and goes, aha, wait a second here. That's something I needed. And, you know, when people reach back and say, you know what, that helped me. I passed, you know, your podcast on to my boss and he absolutely loved it. Or I shared it with a couple of clients and they absolutely loved it. It just brings my heart, you know, joy when I hear that, because it's all about adding value. It's all about saying, okay, this is the audience. These are who these people are. You know what? They care about this stuff. And if I can every week give a little bit of a nugget and give somebody an aha moment, my life is a little bit better. You know, I love doing this show.
Yeah, there's this level of intimacy that you get with podcasting your audience that doesn't work on any other medium. It doesn't work with video. It doesn't work with print. It doesn't work with TikTok. People feel like they know you and that they're on this journey with you. And even though the podcast is really almost like education through storytelling, to have this group of people that want to be a part of it is just fantastic. I feel the same way.
It doesn't matter whether you have 500 loyal fans, 50,000 loyal fans, 500,000 loyal fans. They're loyal fans and they deserve our utmost respect and our honor. And the fact that they listen every week and they share and they talk and all that kind of stuff, you know what? I love them all.
Yeah, me too. That's actually one of the kind of misconceptions about podcasts is that the value is the size of your audience. And that's not true at all. We have multiple shows and some of our smallest audiences are the ones that are most engaged. And some of our largest audience are least engaged. Don't always put value on the number of downloads or listeners that you have because it doesn't really line up that way.
And I want to talk about that because, and we'll get into that, but sticking a pin, but it's really important for people to think because everybody's sitting there going, oh, you know, I've got 50,000 downloads. I've got 100,000 downloads. I'm going, okay, but how engaged are these people? You know, how engaged are these people? How are, is this moving the needle for you? Is this helping you achieve what you want to achieve? And is this making either your brand more valuable, your company's brand more valuable? Are people going to your website? Are people know, liking, and trusting you? And I think that's real important. But before we start, Mark, why don't you give people, you know, the 50,000 foot view of who Mark is, what brought you into this podcast arena, and then we'll get into the subject.
Mark LaCour, I've been in the oil and gas industry for a little bit over 25 years. About 15 years ago, my employer capped my commission and Bennett just pissed me off. So I started my first company, which is still around, Modal Point, out of anger. In the process of growing that company about 8 years ago, my marketing guy came to me and said, hey, we should start a podcast. And I looked at him and I said, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard come out of your mouth. Nobody listens to those things. Because 8 years ago, Ben, there was no app to download it. You had to download an MP3 file. The software used to edit was expensive and clunky. Most people didn't have broadband, so we couldn't do what we're doing right now, which is a remote interview. It was on a decline. The name podcast comes from the Apple actual iPod, which was a MP3 player. And at first, a podcast had a lot of success, and then it got flooded with bad content, and it started to sink. And that's right. We launched our first show. Then he kept on like a little kid and just wore me down. And eventually, I said, okay, honestly, just so he would shut up and leave me alone. And what I didn't know is we started the first oil and gas podcast in the world. 3 months into it, Red Wing Boots calls me, and they go, hey, we want to sponsor your podcast. And I almost said, why? But the old sales guy me kicked in and said, shut up and let them talk. And that's the beginning of this empire that I'm sitting on now. That's how it got started. I thought it was a stupid idea.
I love it, you know, because I mean, I've been podcasting for 10 years now. You know, this show is 5.5 years. And it really started by accident. People said, they go, oh, you need a podcast. I'm like, why? Because 10 years ago, as you said, 8 years ago, podcast, there was far more bad podcasts out there than there were good ones. And there wasn't a community, and there wasn't, you know, as you said, the technology was expensive. A mic that I can buy, $150 mic now and sound great, you know, was $500 or $1,000 back then or more. There wasn't the remote software. You couldn't do half the things that we're doing today. So it really was a completely different world. It's like trying to go to the moon in 1969 versus 2022. It's a lot different experience. And what I realize is that we need to realize that this whole game has changed and is changing. From day one to the first couple of years, what were the things that you saw that made you scratch your head and say, hey, wait a second here. Maybe this is something that's going to be something that is going to add value. People are recognizing it. People are seeing value in this, and people are actually connecting with us because of this. What was the aha moment besides, you know, somebody reaching out and throwing money at you? There had to be more than that.
So the money thing was important, and the fact that it happened early on is also important. So what happened was we signed contracts, which meant that we had to release episodes. If any of your listeners are just starting a podcast or early on, I'm telling you, it gets easier the more you do it. And I don't remember what the statistic is. I think most podcasts end after about 7 episodes. Yeah, we couldn't quit because we were under contract, and it made us get better and more efficient. And what happens is at some point in your journey, and I tell my podcast hosts, it's usually around episode 20 or 25, you finally kind of settle down. You ignore the fact you have a microphone in your face. You're not worried if you press record, and you get to actually listen and have a conversation with a fellow human being. And that's when it gets easy and when it really becomes valuable to you. We were very lucky that we got a sponsor early, which made us get through those first 25 episodes. I think the bigger aha moment was I was in an airport in Mexico City, and I was changing planes, and I was talking to my girlfriend, and somebody recognized my voice, and they ran up and they hugged me. And they go, Mark, I love your show. Now, me, here's a strange woman in a strange country coming up and hugging me. But Ben, like you talked about earlier, she had listened to me for a couple of years. She felt like she knew me. She had that level of intimacy, and she was happy to meet me in person. And that was like, really? A podcast can do that? Have that much power across country borders? And yeah, it can. And it does.
That's an amazing thing. I've been at podcast conferences and people have recognized me, and people just in an airport in a foreign country, and have somebody sit there going, wait a second, I know that voice. Where do I know that voice from? And realize that that voice has been in your ear for 2.5 years and you've built a relationship with this person, because 2.5 years, you're invested in that. You're invested in the podcast. You're invested in the knowledge. You're expecting that episode every single week. And that's where I want to dive into what you said. It says that commitment, because I think that that's what's missing in a lot of people's podcasts, is they don't realize how much work it is to be able to be committed to putting a podcast out on a weekly basis. I want you to talk about that for a bit.
In the beginning, especially if you're small, the work's a lot. Recording an episode is really not that much work. It's the editing, the promotion, the social media. And then what happens is you get better. So you start hearing mistakes you normally wouldn't hear that is in the audio. So then you get spend even more time editing. It gets to be a mess. And I tell a lot of beginning podcasters, your number one goal is to generate enough revenue so you can hire an editor and get that work off of your plate. You can only do that amount of work for so long. The other thing that's really important is when you're thinking about growing your podcast and everybody's worried about downloads and everybody's worried about number of listeners, instead of thinking about that way, think about how much can you actually cause them to do something. And whether that do something is go to a webpage, download an ebook, leave a review, that sort of thing is the real power in actually growing your audience. The more people that you can have that are engaged and are active, even if it's a small number, is way better than having a large audience that's not active, engaged. I'll give you a perfect example. So one of our smaller shows has about 30, 40,000 downloads. That audience is so low, so loyal. It's our health, safety, environmental audience, which by the way, Ben, is your show explicit or not?
Go for it. I'll hit the button if it's too bad.
Parents, if you have kids in the car and listen on the stereo, like on the car radio, turn this part down. So I literally could get on the microphone and go to that audience and say, hey, look, I need you to go to pornhub.com and give me your social security card number, your driver's license number. They trust us so much, they would actually do it. Now, we would never, ever do that, right? My largest audience was oil and gas this week, which is 1.7 million downloads just by itself. I can't give away free t-shirts on that show. Once again, I'm showing you that the value is the engagement with your audience, not the size of your audience.
That's so important for first people to tell. I mean, I do a lot of consulting on podcasts for people starting podcasts. And the first thing I tell people is ignore your statistics and your analytics for 6 months. Don't even look at them because you'll go crazy because your first show, your mom, maybe your girlfriend or your boyfriend, a couple of your friends, and if you're lucky, one or two coworkers might actually listen to the show. So you're starting off with 8 people that might listen to your first episode. It's going to take months to build an audience, and that's okay. And you need to be able to be okay with that, that it's a slow burn. Building a podcast, building a loyal audience is slow burn because all of a sudden, I tell 2 friends and they tell 2 friends and they tell 2 friends and so on and so on and so on. And the podcast grows, but it only grows when you build that loyal audience from the day one.
There's another side of that too, which I've seen over and over again. You're right that it grows really slow and it grows organically. 2020 in some ways was great for podcasts. In other ways, it was horrible. So during the pandemic, the whole world either became YouTubers or podcasters. I mean, I couldn't buy microphones during 2020. My microphone company had its best year in its 100-year history during 2020. What happened is a lot of really bad content out there. In some ways, it's good in the fact that if you produce good content, you stand out. But in some ways, it's bad because people have to wade through so much bad content to hope to find you. But I tell you this much, if you stick to it and you grow, at some point, instead of that growth being linear, it becomes exponential. And I can't tell you why, and I can't really tell you when, but I've seen it. I mean, we have 15, I think, only got separate shows right now, their separate podcasts. And I've seen it with every single one of them is that the numbers grow really slow, typically for about 2 years or so. And then it starts going straight up because your hosts have gotten good at what they're doing. They've gotten good at storytelling. You've built enough audience that when they recommend it to friends, because now it's really hard to buy an audience with podcasting, it has to be organic growth. But you know, when you have 500 people talking about how good your podcast is, that grows your audience way quicker than when you have 5. Telling your audience, just stick with it. And somewhere right around that 2-year mark, you can see that growth go straight up.
Well, think about it. At the 2-year point, you probably have somewhere around 100 episodes. At 100 episodes, all of a sudden you have this substantial catalog that is way bigger than 90% of the podcasts out there. Because as you said, I don't know if it's under 7 episodes, under 10 episodes, most podcasts out there, 80 to 90% of them fail in under 10 episodes because people aren't willing to put in the time and the work and the effort. But if all of a sudden you got 100 episodes, people start crawling your past episodes. They go, oh, I like this. Maybe I'll like this. And they start going back and listen to the catalog.
They binge listen is what they do.
They do. It's like Netflix for the ears.
100%.
And when you start doing that, all of a sudden, not everybody is going to identify with every single one of your episodes. But all of a sudden, people will sit there and listen to an episode and say, oh, Johnny will like this, and Susan will like this, and Alice will like this. And they'll send them different episodes to binge on. And then all of a sudden, those people, if they like it, will start looking at your newest episodes. That's when the system works. And it really takes time and effort. And you're right. It's about a 2-year slow burn. I can say that for myself. At the 2-year mark, my podcast, first of all, I was a much better podcaster. I was a way better podcaster with 100 episodes under my belt than I was, you know, with zero. God help anybody who goes back and listens to the first 10 episodes of my podcast. Go do it. I'm embarrassed. They're still up there because they're a good learning lesson for myself, but they enabled me to get better. And it's like working out in a gym. You'll never lift 300 pounds the first day you go to the gym. But if you lift a little bit more every day, and if you push yourself, and if you strive a little bit more to get a little bit better on a daily basis, those shows can be incredible. And 25, 50, 100 episodes, depending on, you know, how much you're willing to dedicate to it.
Agreed, 100%.
Let's talk about podcasts today, because we've gone through the COVID era. And you're right, the COVID era, I think 2.5 million podcasts, if I remember correct. Somebody's fact checked me. You know, we're doing this on air. I don't have a, you know, Google up while I'm talking, but somewhere around 2.5 million podcasts got created during the 2 years of COVID. And as you said, a lot of it got set to a saturation point. How do we help the podcasts that are willing to put the time and the effort in to differentiate themselves? Because we went from having 500,000 podcasts to 1 million podcasts to 4.5 million podcasts. And how do we help the podcaster who's just starting out now to be able to differentiate themselves in a much crowded market, even if most of those podcasts failed?
Yeah, so I can tell you it works for us, and I would suspect it works for other industries, other people as well. It used to be we'd ask people to subscribe. That was our ask on the show, and we've quit doing that. Now we ask people to leave a review, not a rating, a review where they actually have to type in a few words, even if it's only 3 words, like, hey, it's great. What happens with myself personally and most of the people that we've interviewed around this, when they're scrolling through their podcast app of choice looking for new podcasts, they look for those reviews to help them figure out if they want to spot listen to it, right? For us, that's one of the ways to really stand out is to make sure you get as many reviews as you possibly can. And the funny thing is, Ben, they don't have to be 5-star reviews. They could be a bunch of 2 or 3-star reviews, but if you have a bunch of those, people will stop because they figure there's activity and there's something here that they need to check out. So that'd be my first tip to stand out. The other thing is, you talked about this earlier when you introduced me, we are so niched. We are like super niched. And a lot of people think that's the wrong approach. I disagree and say that is absolutely the right approach. We have 2 industry leader shows. We have 2 technology shows inside of oil and gas, right? So we have a tech oil and gas technology show. It's focused on the IT side. So bits, bytes, router, switches. We have a technology show in oil and gas that's focused on the business leaders that use technology to fix business problems. So 2 different audiences. And those audiences, even though they're smaller than if you had a more generic podcast around technology, they're super valuable. Super valuable from a sponsorship point of view, super valuable from a host point of view. My hosts are now telling detailed stories to listeners, and it's exactly what the listeners have. And I firmly believe that podcasting, a lot of podcasting's success is the fact that you can learn while you're doing something else. So while you're working out, while you're commuting, washing dishes, whatever. And if you have a small audience that appreciates learning from you, from listening to your stories, you're going to stand out. And you're going to stand out in that niche. So you may never be Joe Rogan numbers, but you may be the top podcast for Polish meat cooking in the nude or whatever your super niche thing is, right? And that's really valuable when you can stand out in your niche.
Hi, everyone. Do you want to be your best customer's vendor of choice? Do you want to cement relationships with them, add real value, and gain insights that your competitors just can't get? Go to podcasthostforhire.com. That's podcasthostforhire.com. And let's work together to make you the value vendor of choice. It's interesting because I heard a story about a guy who does a podcast in 1957 Chevys. That's it. It's 57 Chevy, and he's got a loyal audience, and it's not enormous, but he's got a loyal audience, and he makes a fortune in advertising dollars from the companies that want to sell to the guys that are the 1957 Chevy enthusiasts.
Well, let me tell you, if you want to make money with your podcast, niching is the way to go, because now you have an audience of similar people with similar experiences, similar likes that buy similar things. So our health, safety, and environmental podcast is a perfect example. If you were a manufacturer of hard hats, work gloves, flame-resistant clothing, any of that stuff, you would want to be in front of that audience because those are the people that use and buy it. We didn't start out that way. It was, once again, it was a total accident that we started niching our podcast. But if you're looking at it from a commercial point of view, the more niched you are, the easier it is to sell sponsorship dollars.
I agree. But here's another thing is that sponsorship dollars are not the only way to make money. For people who are long-term listeners to the show, you know that I've never had a sponsorship dollar. I've never had a sponsor for this show. I've never sold anything on this show. What it is I use this show as a way to build know, like, and trust. People call me to do keynotes. People call me to do consulting for them. People call me to come in and do work for their companies. That's how I make my money off the podcast. There's lots of different ways to be a great podcast, and there's lots of revenue generation. A lot of my guests over the years have turned into clients, or they've turned into business partners, or they've turned into referral partners. So there's different ways to be able to utilize a podcast for revenue generation. It doesn't just have to be about sponsorship dollars or advertising dollars.
100%. We experiment with different revenue generation all the time. So I'll be real clear here. We don't do advertising. And actually, I need to back up because now we are. But up until just recently, we don't do advertising. We just do sponsorship. There's a difference. So our sponsors tend to want organic brand recognition. I'll give you a perfect example. We'll pick IBM, one of our sponsors. In my industry, in oil and gas, a lot of people think IBM still build laptops. They have not built a laptop in 20 years. IBM is a technology think tank now, but people in my industry don't know that. We don't sell IBM stuff. All we do is talk about how IBM has helped, you know, say Baker Hughes with their hybrid cloud strategy. Then the audience hears that. I didn't know IBM does that. And then they reach out to IBM and sales follow. But we're not measured on clicks. We're not measured on downloads. We're not measured on sales. It's literally telling the story of IBM. That's what sponsorship is for us. And that's what all of our sponsors are, is that model. Now, with all that said, we have launched a live stream show as an experiment where we intentionally advertise, where we have 2 30-second spots on there that companies pay for to get exposure, and they want a backlink, and they can track that backlink to see how many clicks that we generate for them. It's too early to tell if it's worked or not. It's making enough money right now to pay for the show, but it's not profitable. So give me some time. The other thing is, as an experiment, we launched a podcast, actually 2 podcasts behind Apple's paywall. And Ben, I was hoping I'd have 100 people sign up to pay $2.99 a month to listen to that. I would consider that success. We have 3,000 people. We just launched this a few weeks ago, right? That's really interesting, as one of the shows behind the paywall is just bonus content. So our biggest podcast, Oil and Gas This Week, when we finish recording it, we leave the microphones on and just kind of riff and talk about what we learned and what we liked and what we didn't. We throw that bonus content behind that Apple paywall, and then have a separate show called The Balance Point, where I'm bringing people on that don't like the oil and gas industry, and you only can access it behind the paywall. To your point, there's many different ways to monetize your podcast. And one of the things I tell all beginning podcasters is, look, I know this is a passion project of yours. I know this is something that you believe in with your heart and soul. You need to monetize it to at least cover your expenses, because if not, real life gets in the way. You get extra busy at work, a kid gets sick, you skip one episode, then you skip a week, and then you skip a month, and then you're gone. If you can make a little money at it to pay for your overhead, to pay for an editor, to pay for somebody to market, so all you do is the talent, it's so much easier to keep doing it, and you get so much better at it, and you build such a bigger audience. So monetization is not a bad thing, but you're absolutely right. There must be 50 different ways to monetize a podcast.
No, absolutely. I mean, I was looking at a company the other day and they said, we have a podcast. I went, great. I'll go take a look at their podcast. All right. Their first episode was in March 2019. Their 6th episode was in January 22. That was also their last episode. They're calling it a podcast. However, what they've got is they've got 6 random conversations on a page on their website over 3 years. There's no way to build know, like, and trust. There's no way to be able to get to know the company and to know why you should be in charge with them. It's all about consistency. It's about showing up week after week, because you're right. People get busy. I tell people, I've got a lot of companies that where the CEO wants to be the host of a podcast. I'm going, can you guarantee every Wednesday at 10 o'clock, a new episode's going to go live and you're not going to miss a week because you're on a plane somewhere? He goes, well, no. I said, then you should not be the voice of the podcast. And you need to have people in the company or an external professional or whoever you want to have as part of the podcast who knows that their job is to be able to make sure that once a week or twice a month or whatever schedule you pick for your audience, that's consistently every single time a good quality episode is going to go out the door. And I think that that's what people need to think about podcasting is it's not about the one episode. It's about the catalog. Love your thoughts on that.
Yeah, 100% agree. And let me tell you, I've seen from experience. So we deal with a lot of really big companies. We typically end up at some point in the marketing room, right, with the marketing team. And what happens is in my industry, when somebody's suggestion that they work with us, we launch a podcast for this big company, the marketing team inevitably, 80% of the time, when I leave or when my team leaves, says, we can do this ourselves. We do it cheaper and better. I'm telling you, I've seen this happen over and over again, and I don't know the exact number. I would say it's around 60% of those companies that try to do it themselves come back to us a year or two later and go, you're right. Number one, it sounds like we're trying to market ourselves, so we don't have this independent third party. Number two, the consistent thing sucks because we all have real day jobs. If you're a company out there thinking about doing this yourself, my suggestion would be to hire an outside person to actually host the podcast that's going to crack the whip to make sure your episodes get out there, but then just give that outside person access to your subject matter experts, access to your senior leaders. That's a much better way to have a podcast that will move the needle for your company than you trying to do it yourself.
Let's talk about where we go, because podcasting has changed. I mean, we've tried, everybody sat there and said, Clubhouse is going to be the future of podcasting. Well, that didn't work out. LinkedIn audio is going to be the future of podcasting. Well, the jury's still out on that one. Where do you see podcasting going? Because I still see podcasting as an audio format. And if you want to have a video productive podcast, that's not a podcast. That's a video production. That is almost like a mini TV show. But that's my viewpoint on it. I'd love to hear where you see the world going. Where do you see the next 3 to 5 years, and what are the opportunities out there for people?
Yeah, that's my pet peeve too, and I've lost the battle, although I tell people all the time that if you have video, it's not a podcast. By definition, a podcast is an audio file served by an audio server that is pushed out via RSS feed. If it's anything other than that, it's not a podcast, but everybody calls video podcast, whatever. A couple things, I mentioned this earlier. You can consume a podcast while you're doing something else. People, do not try to consume video while you're driving, please, right? I see y'all on the roads. You scare the crap out of me. The native format of being able to do something else while you learn is the inherent strength of the podcast. Where do I see it going? I don't see that changing. The problem with Clubhouse, with Twitter Spaces, with LinkedIn Audio, it's short form content for the masses. And if you ever sat in a Clubhouse or Twitter Spaces, anybody and everybody wants to step in. And I know you have control over who you allow to speak, but you're not following the storyline. You know, having a detailed conversation with a guest about a business problem they helped them solve, they have their places, but it's much shorter form content. And then if you think about it, think about the last Clubhouse or Twitter Space you listened to. I bet you can't remember what it was about. Because the podcast is longer and focused, it stays in your memory. It's embedded in people's heads. Most people listen to a podcast with earphones, and there's this psychological thing that goes on. When you listen to audio with headphones, your brain thinks it's real. When you watch video on a screen, your brain knows it's a screen and it's not real. So that's why you get that intimacy with the podcast. Where do I think it's going? I think where the fat lady hasn't even sang on the first. And if you don't follow baseball, I'm saying that I think we're just in the very beginning. There's so much that's going on. All of the big content aggregators, think of Netflix, Amazon, HubSpot, Spotify, they're buying content creators, including podcasters, because they want that unique content. I think we're in the infancy of that. We've been approached by several of those companies, and I've refused to do any work with them because I think it's way too early. I think in a couple of years, that market's going to mature. The other thing that I have my eye on is augmented reality. And I don't mean wacko glasses that you put on while you're playing Xbox games. We're getting to the point from a technology point of view where you can overlay video and audio in the real world. And I think if anything is going to, I don't want to say upset podcasting, but add to it, it may be augmented reality. It's way too early to tell yet, right? But the thing about augmented reality is you also can consume that content while you're doing something else. So we have our eye on that. Actually, we're watching that really closely. We're going to do some experimenting with that next year in 2023. for amateur podcasters, the technology has gotten so good and so inexpensive. The world is your oyster. Literally, and how about this, Ben? When I look at our stats, we are in every country in the world except one. What the hell? An oil and gas podcaster owns almost the world as far as audiences. And if I can do it, everybody can do it. I think the future is bright for podcasting. It's not going away. I don't think it will ever go away. I think the commercial opportunities are only going to grow. You look at Serial, you look at some of the entertainment podcasts. It is crazy the amount of success they're having with that. And I think that's just going to continue to go straight up. Even the dollars that podcasters are getting has gone up dramatically. Even the ability to sell sponsorship. When we first started, my biggest pushback against selling sponsorships, what is a podcast? Well, now everybody knows what a podcast is, right? So it makes it even easier to sell sponsorship. I think the future's bright for podcasters.
So we're about to bring this thing in, but I have a couple of questions I want to ask you just before I let you go. And the first one is, what's the one piece of advice you would give to somebody who, within a business situation, wanted to start their own podcast?
Depends on why they want to start it. Let's take a salesperson. I don't care who you work for, what you sell for. Starting your own podcast is a great way for you to get your messaging out there, to show your domain expertise. A good salesperson knows their product or service so well, even if it's a commodity, that your buyers want to work with you because you help them keep from making mistakes. If you're a salesperson, think about every question you've ever got from a prospect. That's an episode for a podcast. Now, let's flip that around. Let's say you're the company and you're trying to use podcasts for sales. Do not start your own podcast. You have to have this independent third-party separation. Because if you try to start your own podcast to market your company, your buyers immediately are going to think that you're just trying to market your podcast. However, as a company, if you want to educate the audiences in what you're doing, that's a different story. You can absolutely do that. Think of every white paper you spent money on. Think of every big production video you spent money on as a company. Throw that out the window. Use a podcast to do that. But if you're going to do that, figure out how you're going to make sure you're consistent with getting those messaging out. You know, take that white paper and turn it to three or four parts and have different people, including your clients, come on and kind of talk through that. That would be a fantastic educational podcast instead of a boring white paper. So, you know, for individuals out there, you can definitely use it to promote your career and show your domain expertise. For companies, if you're using it for marketing, you need a third party to do it in some fashion, however it works best for you, but you can't do it yourself.
Tell, don't sell. I love that. It's the best way of doing it. Mark, the best way to get people to get in touch with you is at oggn.com, or is there a better way for people to get in touch with you?
If you want to reach out to me directly, the quickest way usually is Twitter. So Mark_LaCour. If you want to check out our network, it's oggn.com. I think we have 15 separate oil and gas and energy podcasts today. September 30th, we're launching four more. We have eight more in the works between now and the first quarter of 2023. So we're crazy growth. LinkedIn's another good place to find me. I put a lot of content out there on LinkedIn. It's Mark LaCour on LinkedIn.
And we'll put all that in the show notes. Here's the last question, is one I ask everybody as I let them out the door. As you leave a meeting and you get in your car and you drive away, what's the one thing you want people to think about you when you're not in the room?
Well, it's helpful. It's not about selling anything. It's not about this guy has an audience. Damn, this guy was really helpful. If I can leave this world that way, Ben, when I'm stuck in that pine box and people are talking and they go, you know, Mark was really helpful, that means I made a difference.
You know what? This wouldn't be a bad thing to have on my tombstone. Mark, phenomenal interview. Love the information. Love, you know, your passion for the subject. Thanks for being an amazing guest.
Thanks for inviting me. I had a good time.
This has been the YourLivingBrand.live show. I want to thank you for tuning in today. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe to the show at yourlivingbrand.live and share your favorite episodes with colleagues and friends. At Your Brand Marketing, we help companies engage, retain, and grow their most valuable assets, their employees. If you're tired of losing great staff and want to retain your best employees, build brand champions and leaders at any level. Contact us for a 30-minute consultation at yourbrandmarketing.com. That's www.yourbrandmarketing.com. Thank you again for listening and sharing. Tune in next week when we ask another guest, what's your story?